Coming up, Jordan Spieth wins his 13th tour event, and the three-time major champion is back amongst the world's top 10. He joins us today. Masters champion Scottie Scheffler is partnering with Ryan Palmer this week. What is the mindset of the new major champion? He joins us too. Plus, heavy star power at TPC Louisiana. It's all coming up on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
That is a live look at TPC Louisiana as this week marks the 73rd renewal of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. This tournament became a team competition in 2017, and this year marks the fifth time it will be played as such. There's some notable teams that will be partaking this week. Look at that, Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland trying to find their music. Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman will be set to defend. Scottie Scheffler with Ryan Palmer. Good job, Ryan Palmer again. Billy Horschel and Sam Burns. As to the format of the Zurich Classic, 80 teams with two players each. Rounds 1 and 3 will be four ball. That's best ball. Rounds 2 and 4 are foursomes, meaning alternate shot. The cut is after the second round to 33 teams in ties. The winners receive a 2-year exemption on tour, 2022 spots in the PGA Championship, the Century Tournament of Champions, and the 2023 Players Championship. No official world golf rankings, of course, will be awarded this week. Welcome into Golf Today. Matt Adams alongside of Eamon Lynch. And Eamon, here we are on the eve of the Zurich Classic. It's the fifth year since it's been a team event, as we mentioned. I'm curious about your thoughts and anticipations heading into the week.
It's so rare we actually get to watch team play outside of a Ryder Cup and a President's Cup, Matt. And it's amazing how little cross-pollination there is between teams here. I mean, Hovland and Morikawa is the only kind of cross-Atlantic team that we've seen here. We've got a lot of Ryder Cup teams. We have Cantlay and Schauffele undefeated in the last Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. We have, you know, Tommy Fleetwood in there with Sergio Garcia, who runners-up in this tournament 3 years ago.
You got Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose also partnering this week.
And a couple of guys, G-Mac and Seamus Power, the Irish pair, going out there as well. Shane Lowry, getting my names mixed up there, going out there with Ian Poulter as well. So there's a lot of compelling groups going out there, and I'm hoping the action delivers on it.
Yeah, and it's also, considering the fact that it's a President's Cup year, there's that theme that's kind of woven into it, at least on the American side and somewhat on the international side as well, even when we look at the defending champions.
There really is, and you want a little bit of edge here, a little bit of drama, and we certainly got that last year. Cam Smith, who's won this tournament twice with two different partners, is going for a repeat with Mark Leishman. He got in a playoff last year when Louis Oosthuizen ended it in his team match with Charles Schwartzel when he pushed driver into the water on the playoff hole. So there is great potential for drama on this golf course and particularly in this format.
All right, let's talk about someone that is no stranger to drama, Jordan Spieth. 13 or more PGA Tour wins before the age of 30 since 1990. There you see Tiger Woods at the top with 46, Phil Mickelson right behind him, Rory McIlroy after that, Justin Thomas with 14, David Duval and Jordan Spieth both with 13. After the victory, Spieth took to social media saying, "This one was special." Delighted to be joined now by Jordan Spieth. And Jordan, first of all, congratulations. Maddie here with you and Eamon. It's been a few days. How has it settled in? How are you feeling now in the wake of your 13th win on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, any time to get a win, you know, by springtime is always nice as you look forward into the summer, as the majors ramp up, as the playoffs are around the corner. So kind of put myself in a good position after, I would say, maybe 6 events of probably not quite performing or scoring my best. It was really nice to kind of have one fall into one. Winning on the PGA Tour is very difficult. And so I think I've, over the last few years, have learned to try to really enjoy and appreciate you know, when it does happen, and figure out why it happened, figure out how to do it more often.
Jordan, a win obviously validates the swing work you've been doing over the last couple of years. Where are you in that process now? Are you where you want to be, or are you still a work in progress?
I would still say I'm still in a work in progress, just because, I mean, as you notice, you know, I'm still doing a probably like an overdone significant rehearsal before each swing, and I don't really want to have to do that. I do make better swings when I do it. So still trying to get the structure, you know, back to the DNA of how I swung the club. And I did a really good job last week of performing, you know, close to pretty much right at the level I want it to, but it's not exactly innate yet. So I've been putting a lot of time into it, but as you know, we hit so many golf balls that sometimes, you know, improving by 1% takes weeks or months. So just trying to do it as quickly as possible, but also, you know, with the idea that I can still go out there and perform in the process.
Jordan, relative to the 5-inch fairway between the ears, you were very honest about your emotional reaction to missing the cut at the Masters. How has Jordan Spieth, now at 28 years old, emotionally matured to get to a point that you can use that as motivation?
Well, I think instead of looking at it as such a disappointment, I looked at it as, I mean, it's sure, results-wise, like to not be able to play the weekend at Augusta. I haven't watched a Masters since 2013, and I really don't want to ever do that again. So it was frustrating, but I was playing really well. I hit shots where I wanted to hit them, and just ended up with, you know, I hit putts where I wanted to hit them too. And I had hit some lips, you know, it was obviously windy and you kind of get on the wrong end of some gusts out there. And I just tried to not change anything, right? Just things are in a good place. I think I'm able to be more patient now than I would have been, you know, 5-6 years ago, off of, and just stay the course, recognizing that, you know, I believe in what I'm doing. And the second you start to try and shift into different thoughts or try and change stuff up is when, you know, you get further and further from where you want to be. So, I would say there's certainly a little bit of level of maturing, just having gone through ups and downs, you know, up to this point. But it wasn't incredibly difficult. It was just dealing with the, what do I do for the weekend with everyone, family and friends there, considering I've been in contention there most of the times I've played it. So I just didn't know what to do with my time, but my confidence was still plenty high.
Now, you said last weekend, Jordan, you won without a putter. Is statistically the putting's kind of an outlier for you right now compared to everything else in your game. Is that a concern for you in any way, or is it just simply a reflection that you've spent more time recently working on your long game?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of neglect. It's also I've kind of been on surfaces that I historically haven't putted very well, to be honest. I don't love slower surfaces, and other than Augusta, you know, we're on slower surfaces in Austin, San Antonio, and Hilton Head. So I'm excited to get to some bent grass where I kind of can commit more to my reads instead of just kind of point, aim, shoot, and hit it hard. So there's a little bit of that and a little bit of neglect, but I know what needs to happen from a kind of mechanical standpoint, and I've got time now to try and, you know, really work it in as we get into the middle of the season.
Jordan, you just used the word excited. You were talking about being excited to get back on bent grass, but I'm curious about how excited you are moving forward from this point. Now having won, yes, you did it in a different way perhaps, but you did it in a new way for Jordan Spieth. How excited are you about everything that lies in store in the weeks and months ahead?
Yeah, very. There's no reason not to be, right? I mean, I believe in myself as, you know, somebody who, when he needs to make the putt, will make the putt. I mean, I had a poor putting performance last week, but on the 18th hole, I had to can a 10 or 12 footer there that I knew was likely to be in a playoff. And I just wanted to just read it with all the confidence in the world and say, this is like me. I want to be in this position. This is why I'm here. And I just didn't let anything else creep into my head as I stood over that putt. And it's amazing what confidence does in putting. And so I'm pretty excited about really taking the finish to last week onward into, you know, some time to really put in some work. And obviously with the swing continuing to progress that, you know, I believe in my abilities to be, you know, as to get to try and continue to push this forward, contend week to week and have a chance. And with the PGA around the corner, that's obviously very exciting coming off a win and feeling a bit of freedom.
Let's jump ahead to that PGA, Jordan. You've said that Southern Hills might give you your best shot at that championship, at least until you get to Frisco, Texas, in 5 years. Why is that? And do you feel more pressure going into the PGA Championship since it's the only missing piece of the career slam for you?
I still think I feel the most pressure heading into the Masters every year just because it's been such a long wait. And so you're just anxious to get started, and the Masters is my favorite tournament. I've not been shy about saying that. But the PGA obviously being one that could complete a career Grand Slam, which would be just an incredible, lifetime achievement goal for me. Southern Hills being Bermuda grass, Bermuda rough, and kind of playing in windy conditions, similar grass types and conditions to what I have at home, I feel that there's a chance it can be a good opportunity for me for sure. So I'm very excited about that. The other PGAs where I've played really well were on courses that required, playing in tough conditions like Whistling Straits. Even last year played pretty well at Kiowa. And then Bethpage was another one when it was playing firm that was, I had a chance there. So I think I look at it as I hope to have 20 something more chances. So yeah, I'd love to get the job done, but I kind of look at it a long-term view to kind of, I guess, take a little bit of the pressure off and just say, hey, I'm going to have a lot of chances at this. Let's just try and settle into this one and approach it like any other week.
After your victory, Jordan, you were asked by a member of the media how your game currently compares to the game that you had in 2015. I'm paraphrasing, your reaction was something akin to near but far. I'm curious about Jordan Spieth in 2022 and if this victory represents just a way to win from Jordan, that you don't need one particular aspect of your game. You've got an arsenal now that's more diverse.
Yeah, I think in 2017, it was my ball striking. I won three times, including the Open, and that was pretty much my ball striking versus kind of having putting save me like I did maybe in 2016 quite a bit. So I guess to answer your question, I believe that there's a ceiling that's high in each part of my game. And as a professional golfer, it's really hard to have everything on all the time, right? I mean, you saw Tiger pretty much be the best in the world at every part, and it's just almost superhuman. So to be able to feel like I can take last week for instance, and look at it confidently as saying, all right, well, the putter doesn't feel great. That doesn't mean I can't go beat these guys. Or, man, I'm putting really well, but I'm struggling a little with my mid irons. That's all right. I'll shift a little and away from that. So it's, yeah, I can be very confident off of it. It's not the first time it's happened though. But I like where my ceiling's at with each part of the game.
Jordan, whenever you're actually playing, anyone who follows the social media conversation at the same time realizes how highly invested fans are in the ups and downs of your round of golf. Sometimes pretty wild ups and downs. Are you riding that roller coaster of emotions yourself, or are you calmer inside than everyone else is watching you?
I think I kind of have learned to expect the unexpected a little. So I don't think the highs, I made two eagles on the front nine, and I didn't really get too excited. I've also, I'd struck the ball really well, but say a three putt at 11, I didn't really let the lows get there. I was like, all right, I was a little too aggressive there. I need to kind of watch out. And I think I've kind of experienced a lot that this game has to offer. So I almost feel maybe a little bit more prepared for the ups and the downs. So I would say I don't really ride them as much as maybe other people do. And I plan on it. Obviously the more you can make it boring, the better. So that's the goal going forward. Dog's barking. That's the goal going forward, is to make it to where you're hitting fairways, hitting greens, and giving yourself as many looks as possible. So that's, if that sounds like something that people maybe won't like as much, I promise I'll like that a lot more.
Yeah, I think they're going to have fun watching you play regardless. I'm sure you saw the news that it was record ratings as you finish up your round on Sunday, Jordan. I did want to ask you about something that was fun for all of us as fans to see, too. With Sammy out there with you, then later on you're telling us a story about Annie and the five-second rule. How much fun was it for you to share this experience with the family?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, they've been traveling with me. He's been traveling since he was 2 months old now this year, and that's obviously been new and really exciting. It was a cool moment to have on the 18th green for sure. I mean, when I won in, San Antonio, I knew that Annie was pregnant, so that was obviously it. We kind of knew this was coming. But this one, having him actually there was super cool. It's something that I think we'll appreciate more and more as he gets older and is able to see it. And definitely. But for me, in that moment, it was really neat.
Last question, Jordan. What is the dog's name who's announcing himself in the interview here?
That's Silo. We've had her. She's 3 and a half. She decided she wanted to be a part of it. She got jealous.
There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, dude, what room are you in right now?
I'm in an office kind of turned into a trophy room in the front of the house.
That's what it kind of looked like. I thought you were showing off a little bit with those trophies, and rightfully so.
I was trying to find an area that doesn't show it off, but it's a cool space. I don't come in here very often, but pretty neat to relive some of the memories.
Just take your camera and cruise it over to that one with all the trophies.
That's the major area there, FedEx Cup and majors. So hopefully can maybe build a couple more shelves if they need to. And then, there's some Ryder Cups and stuff like that. So it's a cool space.
It is a very cool space. And it's very cool that you would take this much time to join us today, Jordan Spieth. We wish you the very, very best moving forward. And again, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk soon.
We're from one guy with a green jacket in his wardrobe to a guy who probably hasn't taken his off yet. Scottie Scheffler will be joining us. We're going to talk to the world number one about this week's Zurich Classic of New Orleans and the next major championship he has his eye on.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And by WinGrips, the best grips in golf.
Welcome back to Golf Today. Billy Horschel has had success in the past at the Zurich Classic. He won the event in 2013, of course, before it became a partner event. Then in 2018, he teamed with Scott Piercy to win by one stroke over Jason Duffner and Pat Perez. This week, Horschel is teaming up with a three-time PGA Tour winner, Sam Burns. The duo get their first round started tomorrow at 1:57 p.m. alongside of Bubba Watson and his partner, Harold Varner III. Horschel has been known to wear his emotions, of course, on his sleeve. And ahead of this week's event, he was asked if he feels an obligation to, in the reporter's words, tone it down as to not affect his playing partners. He said to that the following, quoting, "I think I've done a better job of handling it and trying to do it in a proper way, especially in a way that doesn't affect anyone I'm playing with. Like I said, that's me, and that's the way it's always going to be. This is going to sound blunt. It's going to sound bad. But if you don't like it, I honestly don't care anymore. I've cared enough over the last 13 years of my career to try and please everyone that watches me. And you know what? I can't do anything more. I've done everything I can. If you don't like me for some reason, I don't care anymore." End quote. So, Eamon, let's get your reaction to this for a second. Here is Billy Horschel, a veteran player that has accomplished much in his career. However, for my personal sake, I don't think it has anything to do with attaining a certain level of accomplishment in the game that you can be yourself. I find it refreshing that a player's willing to show us who he really is.
And it's always been this way with Billy Horschel. I mean, you remember back in the Walker Cup at Royal County Down 15 years ago when he was so kind of in-your-face aggressive, it alienated his relationship with Rory McIlroy from their amateur days for a few years, although I think they're in better terms now. We spend a lot of time in this game complaining about how many khaki-clad clones there are in this game, that they are so bland, that they all say the same, look the same, dress the same, think the same, act the same. When you have somebody who's a little more mouthy and lippy and combative, to me, that's actually a positive in this game. We can't then turn around and start to criticise them for actually being authentic, even if we don't particularly like the authenticity that they bring to it. And I think in this case, Billy Horschel's not necessarily talking about sort of a general conversation about golf or conduct. I think he's specifically talking about internet trolls who like to sort of pick on every issue or every statement that the guy makes, and he should dismiss them with the contempt that they deserve anyway.
You know, I'm curious if he's being held... You talked about, you called them internet trolls, but I'm curious if he's being held to a more harsh standard than other players that also reveal their emotions. We seemingly enjoy it when Jon Rahm is out there and he's wearing his heart on his sleeve. What's different with Billy Horschel?
I think Billy Horschel's a more abrasive personality. You know, we've also seen guys like Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. They've also been accused at times of being a little too outward with their emotions or a little too whiny on the golf course. Jordan's had that accusation leveled against him a lot. It gets a different reaction when those guys do it, along with Billy Horschel. He's not granted as much goodwill as other players are out there. And I think it's... obviously, there's a standard we want to apply here, but we don't want standards to be suffocating personalities. Because in the modern era, sports die from too much decorum. And there's obviously a limit to what you want in terms of combative, polarizing personalities, but golf is not oversubscribed with those kind of personalities right now.
No, and I wouldn't, I wouldn't even put Billy Horschel in that category. I like that he shows us his emotions and applaud it when any of the players do. This week marks the fourth edition of the Dio Implant LA Open. This event debuted in 2018 as the LPGA Tour returned to the Los Angeles area for the first time since 2005. Wilshire Country Club has been the host of this event since its debut. Dio Implant's LA Open strength of field. There you go, 26 major champions, six of the top 10 players in the world, seven winners on the LPGA Tour this season, and all three past winners of this event. It is time now for By the Numbers as we welcome in our Paige McKenzie. So, Paige, first of all, welcome formally. Thank you for joining us. Let's jump right into this. World number one, Jin Young Ko. What can we expect this week?
I think that there's a lot of high expectations for Jin Young Ko, not only because she's world number one, but because she's played this golf course so well. As you mentioned, only three times playing at Wilshire, but her three times playing, all top five finishes. She finished runner-up here in 2018, top five in 2019, and a tied for third finish in 2021. Her average finish there puts it at 3.3. Or third place finish is her average in the three times she's played.
Wow.
She is coming off a disappointing finish, however, at the Chevron, a tied for 53rd finish. So she didn't play well. She talked a little bit earlier this week about how she wanted to work on her driver, using the ground forces a little bit more, getting a little more pop out of the driver. Feels comfortable with that heading into this week. And this golf course requires so much precision, as you guys both know, that suits exactly what Jin Young Ko is known for.
Well, Paige, someone who also has a lot of pop on her driver and played actually better at the Chevron, Patty Pavatanikit gave a pretty good defense of her title there. Is she on your radar this week, or what are you watching for?
Exactly. She's on my radar because of that tied for fourth finish at Chevron, where she was defending that major championship title. In addition to that, Patty Pavatanikit is the best putter on the LPGA Tour this season. Her putts per green in regulation is 1.66. Think about that. She is converting a ton of birdies every time she hits the green. In fact, she averages 8 1 putts around, which is one of the top on the LPGA this season as well. So for Patty Pavatanikit, I'm keeping an eye on her because she's got that great combination of length as well as deft touch on the greens. In addition to that, as you both know, she spent her college days at UCLA, which is just 7 miles down the road from Wilshire. So she has some experience on this golf course dating back to her days at UCLA.
One of the other people on that putting list there was Brooke Henderson. Brooke is the defending champion this week. She's won two other events in her career back-to-back, the Portland Classic and the Lotte Championship. What are her prospects this week, you think, of repeating here?
There's a little bit of a question mark because she withdrew last week in Hawaii. We don't know the state of her health. She withdrew due to an undisclosed illness. She is speaking to the media today. But that aside, if you take to the first six events of the season, she actually led the LPGA Tour in her scoring average. She shot 74 before withdrawing in Hawaii, but that puts her season average at just above 69, which is still third on the LPGA Tour. I think she's had a bit of an underrated season so far. Not a lot of people have talked about her just because she hasn't won yet, but in those first six events, no worse than a tied for 13th. Finish. So I'm keeping an eye on Brooke Henderson to see, A, what she says today when speaking with the media, but also because she's defending champion, has had success at this golf course, she's certainly one to watch.
Paige, when you talk about things that you're keeping your eye on this week, you also obviously are looking at the odds. And I'm curious, when you look at the odds, what strikes you as odd?
This stood out to me because never should NB Park be put at almost anything with a 2 in front of it, but NB Park at 28-1? What? Yes, I know she's not in great form currently this season, but still, she's won twice in her last 34 starts. Her last win was actually in Southern California, just a couple hours away at the Kia Classic. And so I'm looking at this going, okay, she hasn't won in 23 starts, which is actually the longest amount of time since 2011 that NB Park has gone winless. So you've got two things. Either NB Park's over the hill and she's going to go on this long drought and not winning again, or you just got to bet the fact that NB Park will eventually win again. And this, to me, is a no-brainer. At 28-1, NB Park, she's got to win again. And in Southern California, a place that she's had success, I'm betting on her to do well this week also because of her past results on this golf course. I mentioned how successful Jin Young Ko is. NB Park, a runner-up in 2018, tied for fifth in 2019, and a tied for 15th last year. She's got good results here, guys.
I like a fired-up Paige McKenzie. Paige, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Well, one man on the field at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans has more experience than most any of the kids down there. He won his first tour event in 1978. Heck, he won his first Champions Tour event when Scottie Scheffler was just 9 years old. Jay Haas is in the field, and Rex Hoggard will be joining us from TPC Louisiana with more.
PGA Tour's only official team competition of the season gets started tomorrow with the Zurich Classic at TPC Louisiana. The event will feature 80 two-man teams competing in 72 holes of stroke play. The first and third rounds will feature a four-ball or better ball format, and the second and final rounds will feature foursomes, alternate shot in the format. With more in this week's field, we welcome in Rex Hoggard, including news of a father and son team.
Yeah, Matt, when you consider that Jay Haas has not played on the PGA Tour since 2010, it's perfectly understandable that he was probably a little reluctant to join his son, Bill, in this event. He was afraid how his game was going to stack up against the younger generation. But he told me today that once he thought about it for a little while and realized it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, it turned out to be a very easy decision.
It's been on our plate, you know, for the last couple of months. Bill asked me to play. And I tried to discourage him that he needed a partner that could help him a little bit more. But just being with him out here and being on the same range with him again, looking down the aisles here and just seeing all the great players that we have. So it's something that I've been thinking about, certainly nervous about. And yesterday didn't help me in any way because I didn't play very well, so hopefully I'll get better as the week goes on. But it's just fun being here again, being with Bill, getting the adrenaline flowing, and hopefully we can do better than I'm anticipating I'm going to do.
And Bill, just talk to us a little bit about how excited you are to tee it up with your dad.
Yeah, I thought it was a great opportunity to play together, and you know, pretty special to be able to have your dad play in a PGA Tour event with you. And I don't know. I love him watching me play. Like last week he came down, he and my mom came down and watched me play at Hilton Head, and I just enjoy him being out there. He listens to me, you know, go through my rounds on the phone or in person sometimes, and when he's there, he can he sees what I'm talking about, and he helps me with my game, and so I think it's just a good opportunity to play golf and enjoy it and have fun, but also inside the ropes, be competitive, and him be able to see what I'm talking about when I say either I'm struggling or I'm not here, I had a good one, or what do you see here? I do that anyway, and so to have him inside the ropes on my team, you know, it's just a great opportunity and it's just a special week. I think something that I'll, you know, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'll, you know, remember it forever.
Now, technically, this is Jay Haas's 799th start on the PGA Tour, but up until just a few years ago, it was supposed to be his 800th start. He explained to me that back in 1994, when they first played the President's Cup and he was on that team, that counted as a start. So the math worked out. This should have been his 800th, but recently they removed the President's Cup as a counting event for players. And so I asked him if 800 was a number that he would consider, will he get that 800th start, seeing how important that is for a lot of different guys. And he said, that's probably not in the cards. But then he paused for a moment and he said, maybe it depends on how I play this week. Matt?
Rex, awesome stuff. Thank you very much for that. And now, folks, here's a look at the outright odds this week. It's powered by Sportsbet Sportsbook. There you can see Hovland and Morikawa very much atop that listing. Some pretty big names, Eamon, as we look down the choices that are laid before us.
Yeah, and to me, the most intriguing storyline here is the guys you see second on that list, Matt, of Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, who went undefeated in the Ryder Cup back at Whistling Straits. You know, they really wiped out Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter, I think 5-3 in one of their matches, and then took out Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick in another match. And I'm just curious to see if the team dynamic is there outside of the kind of national fervour that goes with it, if you're really playing for yourself rather than for country. And those are two guys who've been in you know, pretty good form lately, particularly Patrick Cantlay, who obviously just lost the playoff last weekend. Xander's kind of on a little bit of a plateau at the moment. But to me, those are the guys, other than the obvious Hovland, Morikawa pairing that everyone's kind of got their eye on, those are the guys that intrigue me most.
You know, there's so many good choices. There are six teams that have two players inside of the top 50 in the world. It includes Morikawa and Hovland that you mentioned. Obviously, it includes Cantlay and Schauffele as well. The others are Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, the defending champions. You've got Tommy Fleetwood and Sergio Garcia, number 41 or number 47, respectively, each in that marking. You have Taylor Gooch and Max Homa, who are 34th and 38th. But the story that intrigues me is number Sam Burns and Billy Horschel, and Horschel's number 14 to that point, in fact. But it intrigues me because for Sam Burns, he clearly would be the hottest young player in the game right now, save for what Scottie Scheffler has done. So I'm really curious how those two are going to come together and play in this type of format. Billy Horschel's already shown that he can win with different players.
And I think he expects to ride Sam Burns all the way to the winner's enclosure on Sunday evening here, like any fine jockey would. And, you know, Billy can also talk for both of them. He can be combative for both of them. He can do the running commentary for the entire team. But can we just take a moment to appreciate having Jay Haas, a guy who got his tour card 46 years ago, which is, he's had a tour card longer than the most guys in the field have been alive here. Some of these guys don't even have a driver's license. And Jay Haas is still out there giving an account of himself at 68. To me, that's pretty admirable.
It is. And the fact that he would contend in his 60s as well on the PGA Tour Champions is to his credit. He just seems to have a golf swing and a game that in many ways is ageless. Now, you heard me mention the team of Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland. Colin sent this tweet out this week saying, Twitterless Victor and I need some song recommendations for this week's Zurich Classic. Let's just say we have different tastes in genres. Let us know. So we wanted to ask you, what do you guys think? What song best describes your golf game? Send in a response for a chance to be featured on the show. All right, don't go anywhere, because after this break, we'll be joined by Masters champion and world number one, Scottie Scheffler. Just 2 weeks ago, Scottie Scheffler took home the title of the Masters champion 2022 after a final round of 71. The world number one finished the week 10 under par, three strokes clear of Rory McIlroy. After the victory, Scheffler posted this in part, quoting, "Woke up this morning and I had to make sure I wasn't dreaming. Wearing this green jacket is a dream come true. This moment would not have been possible without my wife, Teddy, my family, friends, and the incredible people on my team." Close quote. Scheffler now has four wins in his last six starts on the PGA Tour. The last player with four wins and six starts on tour was Jason Day in the summer of 2015. The world number one and Masters champion joins us right now. Scottie Scheffler, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. And Scottie, when you won, you said that this isn't going to change my life. Then you won again. Then you became world number one and still told us this is not going to change my life. You are now a Masters champion. How has your life changed?
I would say off the course, when we go out in public, I think just because there's a recency bias, you know, maybe a few more people recognize me, but that's pretty much it. If you're outside of the golf world, I don't think many people still care, you know, who I am or whatnot. But life at home is pretty much the same. You know, we're chilling at home and hanging out with our friends. Not much changes for us. We're not doing anything too exciting at home.
Scottie, this week you have a chance for your fifth win or four and a half since you'd have to share it with Ryan Palmer. You obviously like the format here. You played well with Bubba Watson last year. What is it about the format you like, and how did you end up with Ryan Palmer as your partner?
Yeah, I think the format's really fun. There's very few times throughout the year where you get to play with a partner. And, you know, if we get the chance to come down here and it works in the schedule, it's going to be a lot of fun. And Ryan and I, we're good buddies at home. I've known him since I was in high school, and he's my workout buddy in the off season. We see the same trainer, same chiropractor, and we have the same coach. And so I've known Ryan for years, and you know, he's been a good guy for me to bounce stuff off of as I've, you know, kind of been navigating the professional golf life. And, you know, I'm looking forward to playing with him this week.
Scottie, you got to take us inside the ropes on this question, because I wanted to jump on what Eamon just asked you. When did he ask you to be his partner? How many other players kind of had the awkward phone call and said, like, hey, do you have a partner yet?
Not too many that I can think of. You know, outside of, I played with Bubba last year, and, you know, this year he bailed on me. So, you know, Ryan asked me, I think it was in L.A., and I wasn't sure if this was going to be in my schedule or not, but it's close to home. It's a fun event. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to enjoy the food down here for the week and just hang out and have a good time. And Ryan and I are going to be out on the golf course competing, and, you know, it should be a fun week.
You didn't get Bubba, but you did get Ted Scott on your bag, at least. Let's go back 10 days here. You talked after you won the Masters at how you'd wept that morning because you were unsure if you were ready for the moment. At what point during that final round, Scottie, did you realize you were ready for the moment?
Going into Sunday, you know, the only thing I wanted to do was have peace on the golf course. And so I was more just anxious for everything to get started. And by the time I got to the golf course, I was very relaxed. For me, I think the buildup is just different. Some of my friends were asking me about it last night, if, you know, Austin felt different than the Masters and different than Phoenix and, you know, all that stuff. And the Masters is different. It's a major championship. It's the Masters. It's Augusta National. It's a totally different ball game. But it's not that I didn't think I was prepared to go out and play golf. I think I was maybe a little bit more afraid of everything else that comes with it. And so the golf part has always been the simplest for me. You just go out there and, you know, try and shoot a low score and just hit shots. And so I think most of that anxiousness was the other stuff kind of surrounding it. And by the time I got to the golf course, yeah, I was at peace.
Scottie, in retrospect, when you look back on an experience, and you just saw, we featured your social media post where you were saying, just, it's incredible the next day, paraphrasing. I'm curious, though, about what you learned, particularly through that final round, because I know all of you great champions learn something every time that you play. What did you learn about yourself as you marched to victory?
I would say you're constantly learning as a professional golfer. And when you get into those bigger moments, for me, the Ryder Cup was probably the most special, just because I've always viewed the Ryder Cup as the most special tournament, getting to represent your country, playing against Europe. I have so much pride in the United States, and I love it so much. And I love that golf tournament. I've seen us, you know, lose it a few times in the past, and it hurts me when I watch that on TV. So the Ryder Cup for me has always been that tournament that was above all the others. And having been able to just be a part of that team and play a few matches, when you go home and I'm preparing, I know what it feels like for the maximum amount of pressure for me. The Ryder Cup is the most pressure I think you feel on the golf course. And when I get home, I'm able now to prepare for what that feels like. And it's a lot different knowing exactly what you feel like when you're in that moment. And so what I've learned throughout the course of this year is, you know, I'm not having to play perfect golf. And I don't need to put so much pressure on myself to play perfect golf. I'm just going out there and enjoying myself and trying to execute shots. And that's what I've been trying to do the last few months. And it just so happened that, you know, I've been doing it a little bit better than I have in the past. And so I'm going to, you know, enjoy this ride and, you know, just keep trying to do what I'm doing and improve a little bit.
Well, on paper, for sure, it looks pretty darn close to perfect golf you've been playing the last few months, Scotty. You entered this year. Now you've got your first win. You've now got four. You're number one in the world. You're a major champion with a green jacket. What goals did you set starting this year, and have you actually had to adjust them as you move through the rest of the year?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit weird in that sense. I don't look too far into the future. I've spoken about it a little bit in the past, but if I was to look at my whole career and say, hey, I want to win 10 majors, in my head, I would be saying to myself, oh, don't worry, I have plenty of time to win all those majors. You know, I got this many chances, and I don't focus as much as I can on the moment. And so for me, what works the best is focusing on the task at hand. And so this week, I'm just focused on the Zurich and playing with Ryan. We're getting prepared for alternate shot and best ball, and that's really all that I'm thinking about. I don't set long-term goals or place expectations on myself. All I'm trying to do is come out here and execute shots, and that's really all that I think about.
Scotty, with all due respect to that assessment about kind of keep staying where your feet are right now this week, in May, we've got the PGA Championship. It's at Southern Hills. You've said that it is one of your favorite golf courses. You've had success there in the Big 12 Championship as an individual champion on that venue. How much are you looking forward to just keeping it rolling with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I have another start before then at the Byron Nelson, and you know, I'm looking forward to both those events. And obviously the majors are a bit different. The majors and the players are a bit different than the rest of the events. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge. Those are kind of the ones you highlight on the calendar, the major championships. And you want to compete against the best and play well against the best. And so for me, I'm just going to keep my head down and just keep preparing and make little incremental improvements. I'm not ready to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. Just keep doing what I'm doing.
To that point, Scotty, I'm also curious about momentum because you're obviously on a heater right now. You're playing really well. And from a player's perspective, I'm curious how you view what you're doing day in and day out. Do you see it as a hot streak, or is this Scottie Scheffler moving forward?
Shoot, I don't really know. For me, you know, like I said, I'm just out here trying to compete and play golf. I don't look too much on the past. I don't look too much on the future. Just try and focus on the present. And so for me, it's just really this week and just preparing for this week. And I've never been one of those guys that's made drastic swing changes or drastic ways to how I approach golf. I've always enjoyed playing the game, moving the ball, hitting shots. And so for me, I'm still just trying to make those little improvements. And so whether it's improving my short game, putting, ball striking, whatever it is, you're not going to see me make a massive swing change. I'm just going to make little incremental improvements and just keep trying to get a little bit better versus trying to get a ton better all at once.
Scotty, we know you like Augusta National. You've said you like Southern Hills. To what degree do you have any experience of either the Country Club at Brookline for the U.S. Open or the Old Course for the Open Championship?
I've never played the Old Course. I played a USAM at Brookline, and I have lots of good memories there for myself. And then also my coach, Randy Smith, has some great memories there. He was at the Ryder Cup in 99, coaching Justin Leonard. And so he has some pretty special memories that he shared with me from that tournament and the celebration and watching Justin hold that putt. So for both of us, it's got a special place. And, you know, I love that golf course.
Hey, Scotty, have you guys announced what your song is going to be, your walk-up song?
No, not yet. We're going to keep it a surprise.
Fair enough. It is no surprise, though, that you are playing so well. It has been a joy to watch. We wish you the very, very best, and we thank you very much for your time as ever.
Awesome. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you having me on.
It was an absolute delight. Welcome back to Golf Today. Let's take a look at the PGA Tour University Velocity Global Rankings. There you can see it. 6 through 15, Cole Hammer from Texas at number 6.
And right there at number 7, Alex Fitzpatrick, younger brother of Ryder Cupper Matthew Fitzpatrick.
From Wake Forest, Noah Goodwin at number 10, all the way down to Cameron Sisk at number 15. As to the top 5, here's the way that it rounds out. Pearson Cootie continues to hold that position from Texas. Logan McAllister for Oklahoma is number 2. We'll speak more about him in just a moment. RJ Mankey at number 3. Jacob Bridgman at 4. And Trent Phillips rounding out the top 5. Speaking of Logan McAllister, senior at Oklahoma, 69.68 scoring average, which is his career best. 2020-21, third team All-American, 3 career wins. He's made 2 holes in one at the 2021 NCAA Championship and the 2018 Rolex second team All-American in high school. Absolutely delighted as Logan McAllister joins us right now. Logan, welcome with Maddie and Eamon. We're delighted to have your company. It is the time of year where most of the country is starting to heat up and get into golf in earnest. How has the heat been so far for you and your game?
It's been great. We just started getting some pretty warm weather here in Norman, so it's been super windy the last 2 or 3 weeks, so we've been trying to work through that, but that's kind of what you get in Oklahoma in the spring, so it's been good.
Logan, you recently made your PGA Tour debut at the Valero Texas Open. You missed the cut by one stroke, but you beat guys like Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau. What did you take away from that experience?
I think I took away most that you know, it is different because these guys have a lot more experience, but as far as the state that college golf is in, it's not too much different as far as that goes. Like, I felt like I belonged out there, and for me that was huge because obviously, like you said, it was my first PGA Tour start. So I didn't really know what to expect going into it, but I think everything that I got out of it, obviously I would have liked to make the cut, but everything I got out of it was positive.
Logan, you just used the phrase, the state of college golf. Let's talk about the state of college golf at large and how that impacts you in terms of your performance. The level of competition that you guys have now, the amount of exposure that you guys have now, the amount of notice from the golf world at large and beyond has never been to the fevered pitch that it is currently. How does that sit with you? How excited are you about college golf here and now?
Yeah, it's been awesome to see it grow. I mean, this is my 4th year here, and even in the 4 years that I've been here, every single year, there's been more coverage of it. There's been more talk about it in, you know, all sorts of national and international news outlets and stuff like that. And everyone that comes in keeps getting better. So I think it's good for college golf, but good for golf in general, too.
Logan, the top 5 in the PGA Tour University rankings get status on the Korn Ferry Tour. And yesterday we had on the show 2 guys who dropped out of that top 5 and staying in college, in Sam Bennett and Eugenio Chicara. That moves you up to number 2 on that list. Is your plan to produce or to pursue that kind of professional career now, sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, obviously, I've had a lot of talk with everyone around me, and I feel like I'm ready to go, and I'm excited to get it started and hopefully be able to stay in that top 5 after these next 3 events and get my professional career rolling.
That is exciting, Logan. Let's talk about what you have immediately in front of you, the next 3 events and beyond. What is exciting you the most about what stands right on the threshold?
I'm obviously, we go to Big 12s. We actually leave Saturday, so I'm really excited for that. I haven't won a championship here, either a Big 12 or a national, since I've been here. So I'm really excited for both of those 2 tournaments and having a chance to have one more run with these guys that I basically spend 24/7 with. I mean, you grow so close to your teammates, and to be able to win a championship would be the ultimate goal for these next few weeks. And then we'll figure out the rest after that.
Logan, as we say goodbye to you and thank you for your time today, I have to tell you, it's a huge flex sitting in front of all of those trophies that are behind you.
Yeah, I asked Coach where I should put it, and he was like, you can set up right here.
It looks good. We wish you the very, very best. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
See ya.